Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview podcast special. Oftentimes, on the road to success, we find ourselves blocked. Even though it seems like we're doing all the right things, something or the other gets in the way. But it's exactly during those times that we need to tune in and figure out what needs to shift. Mae McCarthy, my guest expert today, shares her valuable insights into how we can unblock ourselves and manifest our desires. Mae is a best-selling author, speaker, university lecturer, and angel investor. She serves on business, philanthropic, arts, and university boards. Mae has become successful in her ventures by implementing spiritual principles, and it is her passion to pass her knowledge on to others. She is the author of the best-selling book, The Path to Wealth, and her newest title, The Gratitude Formula, a 7-step success system to create a life that you love. During our conversation, Mae not only describes her practical system that we can follow to achieve success, but she also shares how we can use the power of gratitude to live our life from a centered place of joy and abundance. Hi, Mae. How are you doing?
I'm great, Celine. How about you?
I'm doing well, thank you. My listeners and I are eager to hear your thoughts and perspective on how we can tap into the power of gratitude and become more present in our lives. So thank you for making the time to speak with us today.
I am delighted to be here. Thank you.
Okay, great. So let's get started by learning a little bit about your background. Not only are you well-versed in key areas of personal growth, but you also have an extensive background in business and entrepreneurship. What led you to do the work that you do today?
Oh, boy. You know, I've been doing it for such a long time. So where do I start? First of all, my background is, you're correct. I do a lot in the world of entrepreneurship. I've had 6 previous companies, with the largest having over 100 million in annual revenues. And most of them have been in technology. But I guess where I first started was as a kid. My parents told us that they would take care of all of our basic needs, of course. But if we wanted anything extra, that what we had to do was look for people around our neighborhood who had a problem that needed to be solved or could use a convenience that we could create. And if we could offer up a solution or a convenience and they felt it was a fair exchange of value, then we could provide what we had and they would give us money and then we could buy whatever extra things that we wanted. So as the last of 10 children, I saw my family, my brothers and sisters, doing things like babysit and cut hedges and mow lawns and things like that. And at 6 years old, I saw a problem that I wanted to solve. And my mom helped me start my first concessions business. And I had many while growing up, little businesses. And then when I went away to college, started my first of 6 businesses. So I guess the idea of entrepreneurship or growing business is really based on this idea that there can be a fair exchange of value. I could give out something to help people, and they could give me something in return that would help me. It could be a fair exchange. And that's pretty much been the premise of all of my businesses and the way I operate in life.
Wow. It's great that you had parents who were so conscious and aware that they gave all of you such great advice.
Yeah. So out of 10 kids, there are eight of us that have our own businesses.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. And, you know, the road of entrepreneurship is not always easy. How did you stay motivated when you faced all the common obstacles that people face when they are trying to grow businesses and maintain business?
Well, you know, being an entrepreneur is not for everyone. I mean, you really do have to be a risk taker, and you have to have an idea and a vision about something that might not even exist yet. You also have to be incredibly passionate. It has to be in alignment with your purpose, but you have to be so passionate about this problem that you're solving or this convenience that you're creating, because it's the passion that's going to fuel your getting up every single morning and putting in those 20-hour days and risking everything that you've got in order to make something work. So, it's not for everyone. I've been blessed with having thousands of employees that have worked for my companies over the years. And many of them are incredibly creative and innovative, but they would not want to, you know, empty their bank account and their retirement account and get a second mortgage on their house in order to fund something that they were taking a chance on. They prefer to have a little bit more security. So they make really terrific employees and coworkers who are supporting the vision and the growth of a company. But to be an entrepreneur, you know, you have to be tenacious. You have to be a risk taker. You have to be passionate. You have to be creative and innovative, a visionary, and just, you don't give up. In my last two businesses, I was very emotionally attached to the outcome. And that was that I saw, along with my business partner, over 100,000 people that would die every single year in hospitals. And they would die because they would be given the wrong medications. And I was emotionally passionate about solving that problem and preventing future deaths. So we came up with an idea to put barcodes on every single drug so that patient wristbands could be scanned at the bedside and a barcode scan could be done on the drug that the patient was going to get. And it could go, both of those pieces of information could be checked against one another and the electronic medical record in order to determine whether that was the right drug for the right patient. And what we learned was that hospitals did not buy on patient safety. What they bought were solutions that saved them money, improved processes, improved productivity, reduced waste. They bought on things that directly affected them financially. And patient safety was not one of those things that affected them financially. So what we had to do was to get very emotional and passionate about creating a solution to solve this problem, but we had to do it in such a way that enabled hospitals to see a real bottom line benefit for them. And I'm happy to say that, you know, even in places all over the world, including United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, the whole Middle East, Europe, Asia, and the United States, our processes are in place and people are, in fact, preventing medication errors and lives are being saved.
Wow. Congratulations. That's such a noble endeavor.
Well, that's where emotion can come in to fuel that passion.
Sure. That makes sense. That definitely does make sense. So it seems like you were able to kind of distill all the wisdom and the knowledge that you learned over the years into your book, The Gratitude Formula, in which you describe a practical system that we can use to achieve success in all facets of our life. Could you please briefly break down the main steps for us?
I sure can. So the Gratitude Formula is actually my second book. The first book was called The Path to Wealth.
Okay.
And I wrote the Gratitude Formula because people were able to achieve lots of goals that they had using the steps that are outlined in the Path to Wealth, which really outline a daily practice, you know, of having a goal meeting and planning session with yourself every single morning to stimulate your subconscious and intuition to be helpful in pointing out steps that you can take along the way to achieve your goals. But being clear, really clear about your goals first thing in the morning and what the outcome of achieving those goals looks like with gratitude. That's the key anchor in a system for success, is spending time every single morning programming your own brain for success rather than waiting for the world to program it for you. See, an interesting thing happens. We have billions and billions of pieces of data that are coming at us every single day. Every day, news reports, social media, all sorts of different things. And people are trying to get our attention and tell us what's important in the world. Well, guess what? If we don't take time every single morning to program our own importance into our lives, that would be our goals and our outcome desires, like financial freedom, a healthy body, harmonious relationships with our family, our friends, our coworkers, our community, and our world, having a recreation and balance in our life, a spiritual connection if you have one, and then using your skills and your talents in fulfilling and satisfying ways, either with work or whatever you're choosing to do with your time.
Right.
If we don't figure out what we want and describe it with gratitude as though it's already achieved first thing in the morning, then what we're going to notice all day is what other people have told us to pay attention to. And that's no way to live your life. You just float along without any clear direction. So the very first thing in the gratitude formula is to do that daily practice every single day of revisiting your goals and really describing the outcomes that you want to achieve. And you have to use the right words. What I mean by that is many people will have a goal, you know, I want to be debt free, mm-hmm. or even I want to lose 10 pounds. Yeah. You know, yeah. We've all heard people say that.
Right.
But think about that goal for a minute. If your goal is to be wanting to be debt free or wanting to lose 10 pounds, then the goal is to be wanting. And guess what? You've already achieved it. You're already wanting.
Yeah.
So what you have to do in order to stimulate your subconscious and your intuition to illuminate possible steps that you can take, what you have to do is describe the goal as though it's already complete. So you might say, I'm so grateful that I'm physically fit, trim, toned, energetic, and a healthy body that easily moves through life in a pain-free way.
Right. Or I'm so grateful that it already happens, as if it's already part of your reality. That's how you have to phrase it.
Exactly. And then what ends up happening is your subconscious and your intuition will give you strong thoughts or other sort of directions to take steps to achieve your goal. For instance, in one of my startups, I wanted to have a minimum or more of $400,000 in new revenue to afford our growth goals and our service goals to new customers. And so every morning I'm writing down how grateful I am at already having received that, and that we're adding the right employees to help our ability to serve customers in valuable ways, and that our customers are grateful for having our superior quality of products and services. And they're so excited about the flawless operation of them that they tell all their peers at other hospital systems that they should buy from us too. So I'm writing that down every single day. Mm-hmm. And I find myself getting off a plane in another city where I'm going to be making a presentation to a current customer and a new customer. And as I drop off everything at my hotel and get back in my rental car to go to a grocery store to pick up water and protein shakes and things that I need, I have a very strong thought to go to a grocery store that's 15 minutes away. Now, I've been to this city before, Celine. Mm-hmm. I know there's a grocery store 5 minutes away.
Okay.
And here I have this strong thought about a grocery store that's 15 minutes away. So I had to stop for a moment and say, hey, intuition, is this something I need to pay attention to? Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening in a situation like that is what Albert Einstein refers to as your intuitive mind ends up getting a chance to chime in. Mm-hmm. And mine did. Mine said things like, you know, I know it's late at night, but it's 3 hours earlier in Seattle where you were living, and you can't go to sleep right now anyway because it's too early. Mm-hmm. And who knows, maybe everything you want will be on sale at that other grocery store. Just make the drive. So I did. As I was walking into the grocery store, a man was walking out who I recognized. Mm-hmm. I met him 6 months before at a trade show, and he represented a giant potential customer. He wow. wasn't returning any of my phone calls or emails for an appointment. And wow. here we are face to face. So during our conversation, he finds out about our growth. He finds out who I'm in town to see. And he said, look, while you're in town, come make a presentation to our group. I did. That led to another presentation, and eventually a contract worth more than $400,000 in the time frame that I wanted it.
Wow. Well, it almost seems magical, doesn't it?
It does. And that's the way many, many successful people live. Like Bill Gates says, often you have to rely on intuition. He relies on his intuition to make some decisions. And I think Microsoft just reached the $1 trillion market cap.
Yeah.
Just this last week.
Wow.
And Oprah Winfrey, one of the most influential women of our time, she said that she's listened to that still small voice of intuition her whole life. And the only time she's made mistakes is when she didn't listen. And Steve Jobs and Steven Spielberg, and the list goes on and on. Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb, you know, I mean, they've all relied on intuition. But the thing that they did to enable intuition to show up and be more obvious is program their brain first thing in the morning with goals that they're passionate about. And that's what I would recommend that your listeners do as part of this gratitude formula. Figure out what it is that they want, describe it as though it's complete with gratitude, and revisit those goals every single day.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely makes sense. But I think what people find challenging is staying tuned into their intuition, you know, being able to pick up on that guidance, just as you picked up on yours and you actually followed on it. Most people, I think their mind is so noisy that they can't even hear what's going on inside themselves.
Right. And I think most people don't remember how powerful they are.
Right.
All right. And I, in the gratitude formula, I remind people that they have already proved that they can use a system for success. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't easy when they first started. For instance, you know, think about when someone learns to ride a bicycle. Yep. We're talking about balancing on two wheels, and two wheels that are not very thick. All right. They're not very wide. And they weren't perfect the first time that they got on. But what they did two things every day. Number one, they practiced. And number two, they made what they wanted familiar and welcome. And what I mean by that is they saw other people and or they somehow witnessed other people's success at riding a bike. And so what they knew was that it was possible. And that helped them to finally achieve it. And now they can go probably years without riding a bike, and they can ride a bike because they've mastered it through repetition of practice and making what they wanted familiar and welcome. Or think about driving a car or reading. They had to sound out every single letter right. and put it into a word and then put it into a sentence and a paragraph and a story. And now, after lots and lots of practice and seeing that other people could read proficiently, they realized it was possible, so they kept up with it. And now they can probably skim entire pages and get the same understanding. Through repetition and making what they wanted familiar and welcome, they were able to master reading. And many people that I know can drive home from work now and not remember large parts of their drive home.
Right. Yeah.
They've used repetition of a daily of a practice.
Right.
And they saw other examples of people driving, so they knew it was possible. And this is no different. What they need to do is put forth the daily practice. It will get easier and easier over time, just like riding a bike or driving a car did. They will get into a habit of noticing intuitive directions to take steps. That's why you see successful people who end up having giant additional successes, because they've gotten into the habit of being successful, of practicing a daily practice to be successful. And they read stories about and met other people who had already achieved the kind of success that they wanted. They shifted their beliefs to possibility.
Right.
And consequently, every time they did their daily practice, it ended up having more of a meaning, so that their subconscious and their intuition would show up in more obvious ways to point the directions.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's about programming our mind to focus on our goals, practice through repetition, and then gratitude. Why is it so essential when it comes to manifesting what we want in life?
Well, gratitude is one of those emotions that, first of all, it's a choice.
Right.
And it stimulates happy emotions. But gratitude is a choice. And what I have found is that when I put gratitude on something or towards something, it tends to manifest in greater quantities. It tends to grow in terms of its importance. And I'm not the only one that believes that. There are lots and lots of success stories out there, and I reference a number of them in my book, The Gratitude Formula. But when people put forth attention as gratitude on something, it tends to grow in size and be more obvious. The other benefit is there are lots of studies that have shown that when you use gratitude, it has a health and wellness component and result as well. So as you start to recite gratitude statements, everything in your body starts to calm down. If you do gratitude statements right before you go to sleep, studies have shown that you sleep better.
Yeah, I do that for sure. And it works. It definitely does. Especially when I'm stressed out and I'm caught up in a web of negative thoughts. I just think about what I'm grateful for, and it definitely works.
Right. So let me ask you about that. When you're caught up in negative thoughts, or maybe you're angry or upset, mm-hmm. I want you to think about the last time that you were in that state.
Right.
If I came up to you at exactly the same time and I started to try and have a conversation with you, could you hear me? Probably not, because you're so caught up in the worry or the stress or the anger or resentment or whatever you're upset about.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult for a human being to talk to another human being when that person is completely stressed out and worried or angry or upset.
Right.
Well, think about it. If you're in one of those kinds of negative states, you can't recognize intuition.
Oh, definitely.
You're too turbulent. So when you start to put gratitude statements out there and calm yourself down, you're naturally putting yourself in a state to notice intuitive messages and to notice possibilities. Think about the last time that you bought something that was really expensive. In the United States, I always use the example when people bought a car, because that's a very familiar process.
Mm-hmm.
People think about a car, oh, I need a new car. And they start looking at all the different models. They talk to their friends and their family about it. Maybe they even go down to the dealerships and they test drive a new car.
Mm-hmm.
And they really get excited about having that new car. They know how they're going to pay for it. And they're so excited and filled with gratitude for that car before they even get it. something very interesting happens, Celine. They start to notice that car driving around on the road everywhere.
Yes, yes.
They never noticed that car before.
Yeah.
But now that it's a goal and they've put some gratitude and emotion on it, they tend to notice. Their subconscious has filtered all of the thousands of other cars that are on the road and illuminated that particular car for them to notice.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this process works. If we do a daily practice and revisit our goals daily, then we get the benefit of our subconscious and intuition illuminating possibilities for us to take steps to achieve those goals. They do this natural filtering of information that is not consistent with our goals and illuminate those things that we need to notice. And it gets easier and easier over time as you practice it.
Yeah, I believe that there's a part of the brain that oversees this mechanism. It's called a reticular activating system, the RAS. It's just a part of the brain that tends to zoom in on the object that we are prioritizing. And that's how we tend to notice the things that we you know, put our emotions on.
Sure.
Sure.
I would agree with you there. The other thing that's interesting about our brains is that we have something within them called neural pathways.
Right.
And when you look at some of these neural pathways that are very, very large and deeply grooved into your brain, what science is showing is that those are associated with very strong beliefs and behaviors that we've created over a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I wrote the gratitude formula is because people were able to achieve their goals using the system that I described from the path to wealth. But for the goals that were bigger than anything they've achieved before or different than anything they've achieved before, they were really struggling to achieve those goals. They weren't getting any intuitive directions. And so what they determined was that maybe those just weren't the goals for them and they would give up. And I wanted people to recognize that they shouldn't give up. What's happening in their brain is that they've got a belief that's associated with that neural pathway, with those beliefs and behaviors they've created over a lifetime that is in contrast to the belief in possibility that they can achieve a goal that they want. So what we have to do in that case is strengthen a different neural pathway that's associated with the new belief that something is possible. What happens is, in an effort to protect you from disappointment and from harm and from the unknown, sometimes your brain will put those intuitive messages on mute. And the reason it does that is because it knows that you don't believe something is possible yet. So that's when you really need to step up and go read stories about and meet other people that have achieved the kind of success that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, once you get familiar with dozens and dozens of their stories, what you'll start to do is believe that, wow, there's nothing special about them. They started from where I am.
Right.
If they can do it, I can do it. Once you believe that it's possible, not how you're going to get there, but that it's possible, then your brain will take intuitive messages off mute and you'll be off and running again to achieve those goals as well.
Right, right. And what are some of the things that people did to get into that state where they believe? You know, what are some exercises that can help people focus on their desired outcome and do it from a place of genuine gratitude?
Sure. Well, I can give you an example of one of the people who went through this process.
Yes.
She's a scientist. She works for a cancer research center. And she took a workshop from me and decided that one of her goals was to be a paid singer,
oh,
you know, part-time.
Yeah.
She wanted to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So every day she's writing down her goals as complete with gratitude, how she's using her wonderful and beautiful singing talents to entertain audiences, and that the organizers who hired her are completely satisfied, and that she's having an absolute ball using her talents to bless others. All right. Right. And she's being rewarded financially for it. Well, after about 2 months, she came to me and said she was going to give up on the goal. And I said, don't do that. Hold on a second. Are you doing your daily practice, you know, writing down your goals and revisiting them daily? And she said, yes. And I said, well, you know, first of all, can you sing? And she sang for me, and oh, it gave me goosebumps. She has such a beautiful voice. So I asked her if she had ever considered being a professional singer before. And she said, yeah, when she was a little girl. But her parents told her it was a foolish idea and that what she needed to do was get a sensible degree and a sensible job.
That's a common storyline, isn't it?
Exactly. So she had created a belief in her mind that singing for fun and for a hobby is just fine. But singing for money was foolish.
Oh.
So what she had to do was strengthen a different belief. And I asked her to go out and meet other singers and read their stories. So she went out to some local clubs and met some jazz singers. And she went to some different events where singers were there. And she would catch them at the break and ask them questions and learn about their backgrounds. And she read stories on the internet about people that were singing professionally and where they came from and what their journeys were. And one event in particular that she went to was a charity event for her cancer research center. As a scientist, she was required to be there. And it's in this gorgeous, huge mansion. And as she's walking around, she noticed a singer and two musicians playing in the corner. So she inched over and inched over. And as she was watching this woman singing, right then she realized, I'm as good as she is. I could do that. That's the moment that her belief system shifted. And once that happened, she was flooded with all sorts of intuitive directions. And I described this story in my book. But as it turned out, she ended up at another event. And from across the room, a man came up to her and introduced himself. And during the course of the conversation, he mentioned to her that he had been charged with putting on an event at a local community center and that he had a budget for entertainment. Well, right then her gut is yelling at her saying, tell him you're a singer. Tell him you're a singer. And she blurts that out. I'm a singer. And he said, great, come audition. So she did. And she got her first paying part.
Wow. That's a great story.
So shifting beliefs is something that we can do through making what we want familiar and welcome, reading about, meeting other people who have had the kind of success that we want. As we start to really get familiar with their story, it ends up being kind of like when we saw all those other kids and people riding bicycles. We knew it was possible, so we kept up with our practice to ride a bike. And we became masters of it. We became proficient. The same thing happens in achieving goals. If we read stories about and meet other people who are achieving what we want to achieve or experiencing good health, increased finances, the job of their dream, great relationships, the sweetheart they've been waiting for forever, whatever goal they have, find people who've achieved what they have want and learn their stories. As you become familiar with them, you're welcoming that same kind of success into your life.
Wow. I mean, that's it. There it is. You have given us the formula for success, essentially. It's so inspiring, mate. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to speak to you.
Oh, thank you, Celine, for having me on.
Before you go, could you please let us know how we can learn more about you and what you have to offer?
Oh, sure. Well, your listeners can go to maymccarthy.com. That's M-A-Y-M-C-C-A-R-T-H-Y cccarthy.com. And if they go there, it'll land on my book page of my business website. And there are videos your listeners can download for free, the first few chapters of each of my books. There's lots of free information available. There's a list of speaking events that I do that are public. There is lots of blogs and media interviews, all sorts of things that are free information to help them get started on their journey towards the success that they desire.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, May. I so appreciate you being here and sharing your knowledge with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
All right. You have a great day.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.